From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, Spiritual Methods for Successful Warfare, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. Babes in Christ. Are you mourning, believer, because you are so weak in the divine life? Because your faith is so little, your love so feeble? Cheer up, for you have cause for gratitude. Remember that in some things you are equal to the greatest and most full-grown Christian. You are as much bought with blood as he is. You are as much an adopted child of God as any other believer. An infant is as truly a child of its parents as is the full-grown man. You are as completely justified, for your justification is not a thing of degrees. Your little faith has made you clean every whit. You have as much right to the precious things of the covenant as the most advanced believers, for your right to covenant mercies lies not in your growth, but in the covenant itself. And your faith in Jesus is not the measure, but the token of your inheritance in Him. You are as rich as the richest, if not in enjoyment, yet in real possession. The smallest star that gleams is set in heaven. The faintest ray of light has affinity with the great orb of day. In the family register of glory, the small and the great are written with the same pen. You are as dear to your father's heart as the greatest in the family. Jesus is very tender over you. You are like the smoking flax. A rougher spirit would say, "Put out that smoking flax. It fills the room with an offensive odor." But the smoking flax he will not quench. You are like the bruised reed, and any less tender hand than that of the chief musician would tread upon you or throw you away. But he will never break the bruised reed. Instead of being downcast by reason of what you are, you should triumph in Christ. Am I but little in Israel? Yet in Christ I am made to sit in heavenly places. Am I poor in faith? Still, in Jesus I am heir of all things. Though less than nothing, I can boast and vanity confess. Yet if the root of the matter be in me, I will rejoice in the Lord and glory in the God of my salvation.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. As the army of Israel stood ready to attack the city of Jericho, there had been several divinely appointed delays, part of the spiritual preparation for the battle. Now Joshua was given instructions that must have seemed very strange to a seasoned soldier. Rather than launch a straightforward attack, Joshua was commanded by God to have the army march around the city in absolute silence once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they were to march around it 7 times and then to shout. This was not man's way to wage war, but it was God's way. Since Joshua was a man of faith as well as a military leader, he knew that God's way would lead to victory. May the Lord teach us that success in our Christian warfare depends on Him. Now to introduce this message, Spiritual Methods for Successful Warfare. Here is Dr. Cairns.
We return this morning to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, reading from verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. It came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. It came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only in that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass, when the people heard the shout of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Amen. The Lord will add His own blessing to this reading from His own precious word for His name's sake. The instructions of the captain of the Lord's host for conquering Jericho must have taken everybody by surprise, not only the Israelites, but the Jerichoites as well. The Lord had already kept Israel waiting for a long time after they had crossed the River Jordan and come into the land of Canaan. I have drawn attention to this in various times as we have studied through the end of chapter 5 of Joshua, that the Lord did deliberately keep the armies of Israel waiting before they launched their attack against Jericho and began to conquer the land. Now the time for battle had come. And yet, strangely, the Lord surprised the people yet again, and again He injected a new time period of waiting. At His command, Joshua assembled the army and marched around the walls of Jericho once a day for 6 days. 7 priests blew the trumpets of Jubilee, and yet other priests carried the ark of the Lord, with the soldiers going on before and bringing up the rear. Throughout that march, each day, for 6 days, the army remained silent. The only sound that they made was that of their marching feet. The only other sound was the blowing of these trumpets of Jubilee by the priests. As I say, for 6 days, that was the fashion of their attack upon the land and upon this first great obstacle that faced them in the land. Then on the 7th day, they compassed Jericho 7 times. And when the priests sounded on the trumpets of Jubilee, then Joshua commanded the people to shout. Verse 16, it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And at that shout, the wall of Jericho fell down flat, and the city lay at the mercy of the armies of Israel, who went on to win a comprehensive victory that day. Now that's the scene. The Bible gives us the best summary of the teaching of this passage in two or three other well-known texts of Scripture. I think as you look at the passage before us, you can best grasp what it means to us. If you think, for instance, of Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, where the Lord says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And then the famous words of Paul that we heard read last Lord's Day evening, and indeed mentioned in the morning as well. "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And I suppose the final commentary in this passage is in Hebrews 11, verse 30, where you have Paul's summary of it. "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days." Now, last Sabbath morning, I pointed out that Jericho has its counterpart in the life of every Christian and in the experience of the church in general. Today, I want us to make one simple, basic observation. As we look at the text, I want us to learn that the Lord provides His people with the spiritual methods that are necessary for successful warfare. The Lord provides His people with spiritual methods of successful warfare. And as we examine that simple, basic truth, let me point out these three things. First, God's work must be done in God's way. The Lord did not leave Joshua to come up with a plan to take Jericho. The Lord did not say to Joshua, "Gather round your commanders, your tacticians, your strategists, your chiefs of staff, your experienced men of war, and come up with a plan." He did not say, "Consider all the war manuals of all the battles that have taken place and come up with a plan." That's how you would have expected Joshua to proceed. That's how warfare is normally carried out. You've got to know the history. You've got to know the strategy. You've got to know what are the best tactics to obtain that strategic end. But Joshua was not commanded to do any of those things. He was simply told as he stood before the captain of the Lord's hosts, "I am in command here. Take the shoes from off your feet. Stand on holy ground before God and listen well, because this is the way in which you will conquer Jericho." The Lord gave him the way, and he expected Joshua to follow it to the letter, even though he must have known that what he was saying to Joshua shocked him, surprised him, and shook him to the very core. Joshua was a man. Joshua was a man of battle. He was the leader of the armies of Israel. It was Joshua who was commander-in-chief of the armies when the Israelites did battle with the Amalekites. You remember Exodus chapter 17, Moses stood on the hill with the rod of God aloft. It was Joshua who led the armies into battle. He was a seasoned man of war. And to say to a soldier, "Lead your troops in a circuit around the city, march them day by day," doing something that militarily is of no value. You've got to recognize that. It was not a marching army that put fear in Jericho. Oh, there was fear there, but it wasn't because they were marching around. That marching did not shake the walls. There is no relation between cause and effect of the actual physical act of marching and the falling down of the walls. They didn't somehow undermine the foundation by the reverberations caused by their marching. No, no, Joshua recognized this. It was a shock to his whole system that this is the way that God was telling him to go. But Joshua was not only a man of battle. Joshua was a man of faith. Joshua was a man of God. And he had led the Israelites into battle when he knew from experience that however hard he fought, while Moses held up the rod, he prevailed. And when Moses' hands were heavy and he let down the rod, he did not prevail. Joshua realized that while he had to fight with every ounce of energy in his body, yet the victory did not depend upon his skill, his wisdom, his leadership, his men, his preponderance in armaments. It depended upon the Lord. He knew that. And therefore, though this surprised him, he was glad to give it 100% obedience. We need to learn from that. Because the Lord has led down the way He wants His work to be done. The Lord has led it down how He wants His work to be done. You remember when He gave to Moses the plan of the tabernacle in Mount Sinai. Exodus 25 verse 40. And this is something that's referred to again and again. The Lord said to Moses, "Look, that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount." Moses was not given the slightest room for what the world calls creativity. The entire tabernacle worship, down to the smallest tent peg, was ordained of God, was designed of God. And that design and that pattern was given to Moses. And God told him, "Moses, give attention to this and make everything according to the pattern that I showed you in the mount." The same thing was true when it came to the building of what is commonly called Solomon's Temple. It could as easily be called David's Temple. Solomon actually did the building, but David did all the work of preparation. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 19, "All this," said David, "the Lord made me understand in writing by His hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern." The same is true in Ezekiel's temple. It's a very thorny passage of Scripture, Ezekiel 40 to 48. Very thorny passage of Scripture. I have my own theories as to what that tabernacle or that temple refers to. Whatever your view of that temple, one thing, every detail of its pattern was given by the Lord, was not left to the ingenuity or the inventiveness of man. And that truth holds good for every part of the church's worship, warfare, and service.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.